Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio. And although you might think for once we're not going to start off talking about Donald Trump, we almost can't avoid it again. Because CPAC's going on this week, and Trump is front and center. Trump is going to speak tomorrow, so this will get published shortly before he speaks. A lot of people are saying he's going to announce that he's running in 2024. There is essentially no pushback from the Republican Party against Trump. So apparently, as we've talked about a fair bit, and a lot of people, other people have, the Republican Party right now is still the party of Trump.
Look, it's been the party of Trump since they elected him, right?
Yep.
I mean, I've said this all along. You know, people are like, oh, the Republican Party is at a crossroads. Are they going to? No, they're not at a crossroads. They're down the road. They're in the car. They're down the road, and they're taking on passengers, right?
They're losing some along the way.
Yeah, but I guess, maybe.
The reason why they crushed the midterms.
Like, are they really, though? I mean, I don't know if they're truly, you know, I mean, I think that they've got their core base. They have lost some, but, I mean, look, you had 74 million people that voted for him.
Right? Yeah.
Now, you had 79 that voted for Biden.
Yep.
But you still had a crazy number of people that voted for him that supported him. And, you know, you have people like Mitch McConnell, who's already come out and said that he's going to support him in 2024. The same Mitch McConnell who said that Trump was responsible for what happened on January 6th as it relates to the insurrection. So, you know, all of these people, even, you know, Mitt Romney is coming out and voting against, you know, Biden's nominees for certain cabinet positions. And you know, he was probably the most prominent that was pushing back against Trump, especially when it came to impeachment and the, you know, what happened on January 6th, as, you know, he was running for his life on that day. But for the most part, this is what the party is, you know, and you can sit there and say that, well, I don't like what Trump says and I don't like what he tweets and, you know, I don't know about his personal life, but you know, I mean, but you voted for him.
He
right?
speaks his mind. He speaks like
it's not people aren't.
People say it.
People said that. I mean, but I mean, you people always have that. Oh, he's a guy I could drink a beer with.
They
said it about George W. Bush.
Yep.
They said it about Obama. It's when you don't have anything else to say, you say something very stupid like that. Like, oh, he's a guy that I can hang out with. Like, I guess. Like, and it was always dumb with Trump. Right? Like, you don't have a plane with your name on it. You've never sat on or shit on a golden toilet, right? Like, you've never been able to travel the world at a whim, and you've never stolen millions of dollars from charity. Like, you, right. No, you can't,
and
right?
Speaking of golden toilets, there's one thing worse than a golden toilet, and that's a golden statue of you at CPAC, which, if you saw that thing, it was fucking ridiculous. It was, all right, so if you didn't see it, that's on you, but it was literally, it looked like they took the Frisch's Big Boy, gave it a Trump twinge or tweak,
right?
And painted it gold
with his classic, you know, sort of blue suit, you know, but painted
American flag
and all that stuff. The only way they could make it worse, right, or more ridiculous is if instead of going with the short, stubby big boy body, they go with like the Adonis Arnold Schwarzenegger chiseled, you know, shredded body. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's body with Donald Trump's head, you know.
Which they did on posters with Rambo, by the way.
And we've seen images of it, but I mean, to pour it into a gold statue.
They did shredded abs. If you believe Donald Trump has shredded abs, then you know what? There's probably people out there like, you don't know that he doesn't.
Yes, I do.
Actually, I do.
I'm
very confident in saying that. But if you're a religious person, I'm a conservative Christian and I blah, 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 this should offend the shit out of you. This is like, is it the first commandment? It's been a while since I've opened the Bible, but isn't thou shalt not worship any other gods but me? Isn't that number one?
Listen, aside from that, it's just like, yes. I mean, we've got obviously what the Bible says, but it's just the idea of putting this guy on that level of a pedestal, right? Where literally you've made a golden statue of it and you're going to put him front and center of this conference. It's not the Trump conference. It's CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. And, you know, to put him in this sort of idol, you know,
it's idolatry. Yes. Period.
I mean, it's just bothersome. You know, and it just feels like a sign of you know, scary times ahead. And the reality is that, yeah, this guy, he may announce that he's going to run in 2024, which is not that big of a surprise. It's way too early for any of it, right? I mean, but it also, what
he'll,
it does
he'll announce though, it, because why not?
Well, he'll announce it for a very specific reason, and that's because it neutralizes anyone else who wants to run. Because Mitch McConnell has already said he's going to support Donald Trump if Trump runs in 2024. So if Mitch McConnell is already saying he's throwing his support behind Trump right now in 2021, then if you're a Nikki Haley, right, who everyone says, like, if you, you know, any of the people running the you know, percentage numbers or probability numbers is saying that she's probably the best well-positioned in 2024 to challenge Biden and or Kamala Harris for, you know, for president, now all of a sudden you're like, well, shit, if they're all going to throw their support, if you're Nikki Haley and they're all going to throw their support behind Trump, then now are you seriously going to make a run at it? Because, you know, like, I mean, do you, can you cut through all of that? And I don't know the answer.
It also gives Trump an opportunity to raise campaign money again.
Yeah.
He can start doing that now, which is insane, but I expect it now that I think about
it. And, you know, the more I look into the campaign finance laws, you know, that are pretty clearly have been broken, right, by his campaign. And a lot of people will say, well, you don't know. Like, look, man, I mean, the stuff is public record. You can look at what they did. And other campaigns don't do that. And the ones that have gotten in trouble for it, and people have gone to jail. Like, that, I mean, I'm not saying it. I'm not pulling that out of my ass. I'm not making it up. That's just what's happened, right? I mean, and there's plenty of other lawyers, and you got court records to show it. And so he's going to have a problem with that. Now, will he ultimately? Probably not, because a lot of it is going to other people, you know, within his campaign that work for him and, you know, and things like that. So it's probably going to get ugly for them. And, you know, again, will it get all the way to him? I doubt it, because he's really good at putting layers between him and that sort of thing. But it's still problematic for him. Run, you know, trying to get another campaign up and running, right? I mean, or kind of restarting, you know, this his current campaign,
and try to get his name back out there. I mean, he was Mr. Twitter.
He doesn't need to get his name.
Let me clarify, getting his word out there again, because he used to have Twitter, and Twitter was everything. I mean, everything was about Trump's Twitter.
Hold on. Okay.
The reason I'm bringing that up is Parler was supposed to take over for Twitter. And there was always a question, why didn't Trump jump to Parler? And I sent you a story that basically said Trump was going to jump to Parler, but he wanted a stake, an ownership stake, in order to do so, to make that his social media platform of choice. And even some of his people said, that's a touch too far. That's using your office for acquiring benefits that are not appropriate for a president to acquire. And between that back and forth, and before it became relevant, Parler got deplatformed by Apple and Google, so Parler basically became irrelevant.
It's dead. Like, I mean, I still have the app. I might as well just delete it off my phone, because the app is dead. There's no functionality to it at all. And the point I was trying to make with him, so he doesn't have Twitter and he doesn't have Parler. How is he going to get his voice out there? I mean, the reality is, he's a former U.S. president.
Yeah.
Anytime he wants to speak, he's going to have 100 microphones and 100 cameras in his face.
True.
So I will always push back on the fact that people say, how is he going to get his message out? Literally, just pick up the phone.
No, absolutely.
Who works for him, just pick up the phone. Trump wants to have a press conference. And whether, you know, CNN, MSNBC, whether they like it or not, they're going to have correspondents there. They're going to cover it. They're going to show it on TV. You're going to hear it on the radio. And then that stuff's going to be played on social media. It'll be like, you'll be able to watch it live on Twitter, right? Like, you'll be able to watch it live on Facebook. You'll be able to watch it live on YouTube. So the idea that this guy doesn't have a voice, and how is he going to be able to talk to the masses? Like, come on, people. Just because he doesn't have his own Twitter account doesn't mean that he has less access to the world. He has more access to the world than anyone else in the world other than maybe Joe Biden.
Okay, I agree with that. But now he has to make an effort and be coordinated and organized about it, right? He can't just be
taken. Does that hurt him or help him?
I don't know.
You do know.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
Because yeah, I would argue it hurts his ability to speak
out.
You want to
say that it hurts him, but you know damn well it helps him.
Why? Because he'll shut the fuck up?
Now he's got a filter. So he can't
Does a filter help him?
Yeah, absolutely. Because he's still going to be he's still going to appeal to his base. He's still going to say the things that get liberals all pissed off, and he's still going to be able to have rallies, and he's still going to be able to say the stuff that get to that rah rah. He's going to be able to do all that, but he's not going to be able to just drop a cafefe out there. He's not going to be able just to rant and ramble on. Which there are plenty of people who vehemently supported him willingly, but. Even those people said at times, God, I wish we could just shut his Twitter down. I wish we could just take the phone away. I wish he would just tweet less. Now he can't tweet at all. Right. So now it does have to be organized. And now it does have to be filtered. And now it does need to have some, I'm going to say substance, but it needs to be better orchestrated. And that does not hurt him. Right, because now he'll have a more focused message. Right, he may ramble on in his speeches. Right, and he's going to say things that offend people, but his people love that. Right, like so, you actually will filter out most of the noise, and now you're going to have these very concentrated messages that he'll be able to get out. And we're going to see starting tomorrow at CPAC what that's going to look like. Right, and then after that, it's going to be. Rallies. He's going to go to Tampa. He's going to when 2022 comes, he's going to be supporting candidates and he's going to be speaking at these events and he's going to be going to fundraisers and he's going to have unprecedented access to the voter base. It doesn't hurt him that he doesn't have Twitter. I don't care what anyone says. It hurts his ego. It hurts his pride because he wants to be able to just fire off.
It takes
off and
away
say,
the immediacy.
Right. It takes away, and that's not bad for him. Like.
I understand what you're saying. I guess my counterpoint to that is, does he have the work ethic and desire to actually do those things? And
what
I
do
don't
mean?
Know.
He did.
What do you mean he did?
What are you talking about?
He's been essentially irrelevant since the election. Since January 6th.
He's so the
70, irrelevance is the wrong word.
74-year-old guy who got done being the president and took a month off. Right, come
okay.
on.
Okay, all
right. And he hasn't been irrelevant. We've talked about him every week since he's been gone.
No, is it irrelevant?
He also had this thing called an impeachment going on where you better shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because he took that advice so well in the past.
Well, listen, he did take that advice this time around. And it was good that he didn't have Twitter during these things.
Probably.
And it was the best thing for him to not say a word because there were people who were on the fence who ultimately ended up voting in his favor, but he knew he needed to shut the fuck up.
Well... I think you're giving him a bit too much credit for doing the right thing because he.
I'm not saying he's doing the right thing out of the goodness of his heart.
No.
I'm saying, and listen, if it were up to him, yeah, he would totally have Twitter and he would go off and he would do whatever the fuck he wants. But what I'm saying is, once we get into this, it's not going to hurt him, and ultimately it will help him, not because he wants it to help him. Right. It's going to be counterintuitive to him, but it will help from a political standpoint.
Okay.
If I'm running his campaign, I'm like, oh, thanks, sweet Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jack at Twitter, you've done me a favor. You know,
Dorsey.
Jack Dorsey and fucking Data from Star Trek or whatever his name is.
Mark Zuckerberg,
who runs Facebook. Thank you. You've done me a favor. Right. Because if I'm running his campaign, then now I don't have to worry about him saying dumb shit that I can't control on Twitter, right? I have way more control if I have a teleprompter in front of him and I know that he'll have a crowd and he'll be able to do all that stuff, which is where he's good, right? Whether you like it or not, he's good with those crowds and he manipulates them and he rocks them like fucking Freddie Mercury and Queen.
Now,
that's in my head from earlier.
Yeah. Yep. All right. If Parler existed, though, he would be there. He would be the rock star of Parler. Yeah. And, you and I would follow it, but most people don't. But because Parler failed to treat America with anything resembling respect on January 6th, and because Trump didn't make that deal before Parler got deplatformed, they're toast. So something else may pop up. Who knows? But I don't think Apple or Google have any appetite for putting something like that on their platforms. And for anyone who says that's censoring free speech, and I've heard that time and again, These are private companies that can choose not to post treasonous bullshit if they choose not to, which is what they've done.
Well, technically it's not treasonous, but you're right. It's just...
Forgive my hyperbole.
Well, you gotta have another country for it to be treasonous. It's gotta be another country. Yeah. Well, that's all I'm saying. Sorry. All
right.
You do that type of shit to me all the time, though, with the technicalities.
Okay.
So, well. Payback. But no, you're right with that. That they, you know, like there's not gonna be a, there's, you know, Parler's not coming back, and chances are, you know, I mean, Twitter said he was banned for life. So, but like I said, he's not gonna have any issue getting his message out. He's just not.
Okay.
You know.
And another thing to kind of back up what you were saying before, though, is. Any Republicans who have stood up to Trump have now become the target of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Anthony Gonzalez in Ohio being a prime example.
Yeah.
Congressman from Ohio voted to impeach, and now they're coming after him.
Yeah,
and he's in a very Republican district.
Right. They want to. You know, I mean, they want him to resign. They want to try to impeach him. They want to censor all this sort of stuff. And you know what?
They did the same to Liz Cheney.
Yep, and I love Anthony Gonzalez's response. He said, "Listen, this may be political suicide for me. This may end my political career, but I voted with my conscience. I voted for, you know, what was the best thing for my constituents. And ultimately, if the people that are supposed to be with me in the Republican Party can't get on board with that, then it may cost me, but at least I'll be able to sleep at night knowing I did what I felt was the right thing." And I have the utmost respect for that.
Me too. I mean, JFK wrote a book years ago called Profiles in Courage. And it was all about how people who did things that they knew was politically damaging to them because...
Very few Republicans would be highlighted in the update today.
Profiles in Courage, the second edition, is not going to have... Frankly, it won't have many politicians of any stripe right now.
Right.
Because everything's about getting reelected because it's become a celebrity job rather than a political service job. But that's what Anthony Gonzalez did. And he also caught a bunch of passes for the Buckeyes, and I'm kind of embarrassed. I didn't realize it was the same Anthony Gonzalez.
I can't believe that you didn't know.
They're not our district.
But, I mean, his commercials were on here. I mean, and he's got a unique look. I mean...
Well, if I'd seen his commercials, I'd have recognized him.
I mean,
I don't remember seeing his commercials. I don't want
his head is shaped like yours. He's paler than you, and his last name is Gonzalez.
Yeah, right? So he does look a little bit like me.
I mean, there's not... I mean, that dude stands out.
If I had seen the commercials, I would have... It would have stuck with me. I don't recall seeing them, and but anyway, you know, good for you know. I respect him. If I was in his district, I would vote for him.
I would flip Republican and absolutely vote for him. You know, and as a diehard Buckeye fan, and politically, he's very very tolerable.
Okay.
He's a Republican, but I haven't heard anything. Like, he doesn't buy into the rhetoric.
You know, right.
He's really more independent than he is Republican. And I think this is one of those things, man, where Democrats are really, really missing the boat. Where, you know, I've said this on Twitter and I've said this before, and I firmly believe that, you know, and this is completely, now we're going away from Anthony Gonzalez, but if the Democrats flipped their decision, did a full 180 on guns, then I don't think the Republican Party would win another election for 20 fucking years.
Now think about this. There's a bunch of big names in the Democratic Party.
But just think about this.
Go ahead.
If they flip as a whole, right, get huddled together, and you get 80% of Democrats to say, you know what, you're right, let's just completely flip. We're all about supporting the Second Amendment. You know, every gun law that's ever been written has been, you know, about racial and economic suppression, you know, suppressing the rights of poor people and black people and brown people. You know what? We fully support the Second Amendment. We're punting on all this, you know, gun control bullshit, right? If they do that, then I think that Republican Party doesn't win another election for 20 years. And here's why. Because you don't need, like, you're not going to flip every Republican. You're not, right? But you say that, you probably get 20% of people who are voting Republican just because you have a shit ton of people who are one issue folks.
Yep, single issue voters, sure.
Single issue, one issue, and that issue is only guns. That's it. As long as they got their guns, they are fine. They don't give a fuck about religion. They don't give a fuck about abortion. You know, you got a bunch of single guys out there running around free willy dicking down any chick who's willing to open their legs. They don't give a fuck about abortion. They're all for it. Trust me, I know them, right? But the idea, the hint, the thought of any sort of gun control, they lose their shit. Right? They don't care about any other issue. They don't give a fuck about... They don't care about... They're just, welfare...
gay rights.
There's gay rights. Let the gays get married, whatever. Just fucking give me my guns. You have enough of those people where if the Democrats were to flip, then they'd be... And the reason why is because, like I said, you're not going to get the whole Republican Party. You don't need all of them. Right?
Like 10%,
all
10%.
You get 10%. You get 10-15% and you keep them and you stay solid on that particular one issue and you continue to push for social justice in the same ways that you have, then the Republicans don't have a fucking leg to stand on.
And
Because some of your most prominent Republican conservative voices, what's their main issue?
Well, it's not, hey, Steve, I completely agree with you, but I don't even think it needs to go that far. Because all you need to do is say, Republicans have been able to run on the, if you elect a Democrat, they will take your guns from you. And Democrats have never come out and said, no, we won't. People like me have come out and said, Democrats won't. You want case in point? You had Barack Obama with the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2008. Nothing changed. In fact, gun rights were expanded on the federal level, right? You can bring them on Amtrak. You can bring them into national parks. So not only were no gun rights taken away when the Democrats had all three branches, they were actually expanded. Now, unfortunately, the Republicans have been able to seize that fear-mongering of, if you do this, they are going to come to your house and take your guns. And you occasionally have a nitwit like Beto O'Rourke or Michael Bloomberg or Andrew Cuomo who make that easy to give life to.
You got multiple people in Biden's administration now who've come out and said who've taken some pretty strong stances against guns, right? I mean, you've got Sheila Jackson who wants this fucking public gun registration where you register every gun that you have, you tell them specifically where the guns are stored, and then the list is made public, right? If that's not the dumbest, okay, most ass backward thing I've ever fucking heard. I why would you? I mean, that's a criminal's dream.
Making it public is a horrible idea. Holy
yeah,
fuck.
It's very and frankly, listen, you know, when you buy a gun, for the most part, you buy a gun from a dealer,
right?
From a gun shop, from a dealer. You gotta fill out the FFL. We've both done it a number of times. You put all this information in, your name, your address. It's got to be very specific. Your social security number. They run you. And if you don't have anything really on your record, then it happens pretty quickly. They go through, they look at your criminal record, they look at anything that's been reported, various states, federal level, and if you're clean, you're good. If you're not, then you can have anything from a pause, you know, where a delay where it takes, a few days, 3 days, 4 or 5 days, or it could take even longer, or you get flat out rejected, or you have a pause, a delay, and you get rejected, right?
Right, and I've got a concealed carry permit. And so I had to register my fingerprints. So the state of Ohio and the state of Indiana took my fingerprints, put them in a federal database, I'm sure. And they said basically like, okay, you've proven this. However, if you end up committing a crime and your fingerprints are there, we got them.
We got them.
And I don't have a criminal record, so my fingerprints are only available because of that.
I do have a criminal record, right? I mean, I've been arrested a couple times for various actions. And so I'm not proud of all of them. There are a couple I'm kind of proud of. the whole thing down in Miami, I'm definitely proud of that. But, they're out there. And every time I buy a gun, I get delayed. You know, I usually get delayed for about 3 days. I expect it, right? I mean, and people are surprised. Like, I go in, I give it to them, and I walk out. They're like, are you going to wait? I'm like, nope, I'm not going to wait. It's not going to happen quick. You know, I mean, I got arrest records down in Florida. I got them in Ohio. Actually, those are only two places, but still, just having them in an arrest record in two different states
probably gums up the works a bit,
right? You know, and it just—I mean, it is what it is. And so, I already do that buying. Now, here's the thing: you aren't going to be able to get around that. Like, you're like just enacting new legislation, right? Well, you know, that saying what you can and can't do and how you buy and trade. Like, you're still not going to be able to eliminate the person-to-person transfer of what? You're just not going to be able to do it.
Right.
Right? And so it's one thing with cars, right? Because everyone goes to cars about, oh, you got to register your car, blah, blah, blah. Well, you drive, like, chances are you're going to be driving the car on a public road. And at any given time, a police officer can pull you over. And we've already talked about the Fourth Amendment and how that's been eroded. So, I mean, it's just the reality of a situation. You can get pulled over for anything at any given time by a police officer. So, cars are very different. Guns, for the most part, you keep private, right? Like, they're in your home.
Ideally, I mean, there's the asshole.
I mean, you've got your open carry people, but I mean, for the most part, it's most people who are really into gun culture. It's either about, you know, they competitive shoot, they hunt, or they collect them, or, you know, self defense, or some sort of combination of all those things. But there are very limited situations where you've got a gun out in public where there's going to be a situation where a police officer, or a state trooper, or an ATF agent, or someone is going to be in a position where they're going to be able to approach you about your gun.
Right.
Right. I mean, so it's just you can't, like, who's going to enforce, you know, stopping, you know, the person-to-person transfer and sale of weapons? Not to mention we have 350 million people in the United States. That includes adults, children, people in jail, everything. And we have twice as many fucking guns out there as we do people. Right, like, this is just the toothpaste is out of the tube, kids.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
So no, yeah, the laws should be logical and reflect the reality on the ground, and they are not. And I agree with you. If Democrats could disarm the Republican Party from that issue, they would be so much better off.
I would if I had a position in the Democratic Party, whether I was a congressman, a senator, or a position where people would listen to me, I would be screaming it from the rooftops. And there's nobody in the Democratic Party who's doing it right now, and there needs to be.
I completely agree,
right,
with that.
Like, it's just like, guys, listen, if we got to just change it, right? And we could still fight for everything that we want. We don't want school shootings to happen, and there are ways to, and we can really, this is where we focus on resources and getting people with mental health issues, whether it's kids or adults, we get them the help that they need, and we start to work on the resources that need to go into the inner cities to stop the violence, because gun control from the Democrats isn't even about the fucking violence that happens on the street every day. It's not. For a few people, it is, but for the most part, it's not. You know what it's about? It's about the school shootings. They don't like the way those look. They don't like the way that it makes them feel, the random acts of violence of the shoot. They're just like, we don't like that. Yes, it only happens once a year. Yes, it only happens every now and again, but when it happens, it's really bad, and that's really scary, and we don't like the randomness of it. So what we need to do is we just need to shut down all guns so we feel more comfortable about our safety, which, okay, fine, you're wrong. And so let's figure out the meat in the middle.
And you've said in the past, and I, again, completely agree, people who don't know anything about guns shouldn't be making laws about guns.
Right.
And that's why I always go back to Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg came out and, you know, was going to be the champion of the Democratic Party. And he went to
South Carolina. I was all about him.
And then he was in South Carolina and campaigns against guns. I'm like, Michael Bloomberg, you are so fucking clueless.
Right. Like, that, you're so fucking smart, and then you're so fucking dumb at the same time.
And it happens. It's an East Coast thing and a West Coast thing, but it's a coast thing.
Yep.
I call it living in a microcosm. Like, you've got your rich Manhattan mentality, and you assume that everyone thinks like me.
Yep.
Well, they don't.
Nope. Not even close.
And if I want to counter what you said and say, all right, so if Democrats said, hands off guns, we'll do something to prove that to you. You said they'll gain Republican votes, and you're right. They would also lose almost no Democratic votes.
Right.
Some people would go, oh, no.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're not going to jump to the Republicans.
Oh, no. Like, where are y'all going to go?
Right.
Where are y'all going to go?
And by the way, if you want to say, we'll go to Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is pretty pro-gun.
Go ahead.
He was endorsed by the NRA until it wasn't cool anymore.
Exactly.
All right. Should we jump on to the next topic? Because I'm dying to talk about this.
Yeah.
So, have a Coke and a smile, Steve. Boy, because I want to be less white. I really want to work on being... All right. I'll let you explain the awkward thing I just said.
Okay, so if you didn't hear, Coca-Cola had their racial sensitivity, diversity training, you know, diversity inclusion training, and in this training, there's a slide, a video or something along that lines that the theme of it was how to be less white, right? How to make the black people around you more comfortable, you know, directly talking to white people.
Right.
And as a black person, you see that, and the first thing you think is, oh, no. No, they didn't. And it, as soon as it got out, conservative white people and even some middle-of-the-road white people immediately did not react well.
Right.
And I don't necessarily blame them, right? Now, your hardcore staunch progressives got all, you know, they got all indignant about it, and it was, well, it's because you support white supremacy. Nah, man, like, listen, you can't do it this way. Like, you can't just force it down people's throats and say, like, your whiteness is problematic, right? Like, you just, you can't, like, whether it's true or not, whether you believe it or not, like, you have to, like, forcing it on people like this, you are not going to win the fight. You're just not.
You're being divisive, right?
You're being divisive. You're going to get pushback. And the pushback you get, right? Like, right now, it's arguments, it's talking heads on Fox News. But please understand, and I have said this for the last 6 months consistently, you are going to push people, and you're already starting to see it. What did we see in Michigan? We saw people in Michigan who were willing to kidnap and murder the governor. We saw people on January 6th who got together in a group and decided that they were going to kick in the doors of the fucking Capitol building, and they were looking for people and they were hunting them to do God knows what, right? 5 people died.
Right.
So you are getting to a point where you are pushing people to do things that we don't want to see. And I have, there are not too many Democrats out there that have much of any sort of actual fight in them. They will argue and bicker all day, but can you take a punch? And we know for damn sure you can't take a fucking bullet, right? So if you're not ready to physically fight for this shit that you want to shove down people's throats, then you better come up with a better way and a more inclusive way of teaching inclusion and diversity.
Right.
Right? You can't teach inclusion and diversity by being fucking divisive. And you can't do it in this manner. I'm sorry. And I don't want to hear anybody. Don't fucking text me about, well, no, this is the way we need to. If you need to do it, then you better be prepared to fight, motherfucker. You better be prepared to fight someone knuckle, bare knuckle in the streets with knives, guns, and everything else. And if you're not willing to do it, then you better learn a better way to deliver your message and to teach what you're trying to teach. I don't give a fuck if it's Black History Month. It is time, if you really want to bring people together and you really want to move things forward, then you need to do, like, there is no other, if this were anything, if it wasn't diversity and inclusion, you were trying to teach something else, this is not how you would do it.
This is also something that gives so much fuel, I would say, to the Rush Limbaughs of the world, but he's dead. I did. I'm a bad person, whatever.
Gross for that.
I don't care,
but it's, come on.
All right, I texted you, Rush Limbaugh died, and your response was, good. I have the receipts. good. But seriously, the right-wing media feeds off of white people being made to feel guilty, making feel for being simply
yes,
white.
Yes, they do.
And then Coca-Cola goes and says, hey, they're right.
Feel guilty about it. And my thing isn't the media. Like, you're right. The media feed, the right-wing media, they absolutely feed off of it. But it's the average person, right? Sure. Average Jane, Karen, John, Tim, Mark, Chad, whatever. They go to work. All right, I got to do this training, right? Whether you're black, white, whatever. Whenever right. You got to do a group training at work.
That's always miserable.
Whether it's diversity, whether it's sexual harassment, whether it's how to use the new Xerox machine, whatever it might be. Let me tell you, the conversation we had about the Ditto thing, like, I dragged that everywhere I went. I asked people about it, and I got all sorts of wild responses. It's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
About people who didn't remember it, or people who did remember it, or people who had no idea what I was talking about. And
by the way, like, Xerox is almost as dated as Ditto, by the way.
No, Xerox is still a company that makes, like, we have a Xerox at our office.
And Ditto's are, all right, go ahead.
No, the name of the company is Xerox.
I understand.
They have a machine that is wireless that scans to my computer, and it doesn't send faxes. I can use a USB. It's a brand new machine. No one has a fucking Ditto in their office.
I'm sure everyone's happy to hear about the technology in your office. Anyway, make your point.
Okay. Anyway, I can still buy Xerox stock. Can I buy Ditto stock?
Okay, go on. Yes. Fine. You brought this up. You're
anyway, what was I even saying? Frankly, Coca-Cola training. Yeah. Okay, so sorry. Coca-Cola training. So with the Coca-Cola training, the average person just going in, right? Like, they're going in for the training that they got to do. Nobody wants to do it, black, white, or other, right? Like, they just want to go in and they want to get it over with. And then, bam, they get hit over the head with, you need to be less of who and what you are, right? And it's just like, what the fuck did I do? Like, I'm just Chad in accounting, right? I'm just fucking, you know, Karen in marketing. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, why am I being attacked, right? And, sure. And it's just like, oh, well, if you feel attacked, then you're guilty. Like, relax, right? Like, not everybody is a social justice warrior. And if your argument is, well, everybody needs to be, like, no. Like, there's some people that literally just are more than willing to see progress and to help it and to learn about it. But you can't, like, if I want you to do something, I can't come at you aggressively and say, Jim, you're going to fucking learn how to do it. You're going to learn how to do it my way. And if you got a fucking problem with that, then you're an asshole and you need to get the fuck out. Your response to that is not going to be good. Right? Like, you're going to push back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as you should, by the way.
And I'm not going to want to work with you to come towards the right thing.
Right? And if the argument is, well, I mean, look, man, we've been fighting for social change and social justice since the end of the Civil War, and it's time to crank up the heat. Listen, we have been fighting for it for a long time, and it has happened incrementally. And when we didn't want it to happen incrementally, and we wanted immediate change, we literally fought a war over it. Like, not a media war. No, we got on the battlefield, and we fucking killed each other. It was one of the bloodiest things that ever happened in this country.
In terms of American lives lost, I think it's number one.
Right? Like, so, if you want to force this down people's throats, and you want this immediate change, okay, but, like, let's just look at history and how this goes down. Right? Like, so it's not gonna happen overnight, no matter what you want. Right, like, no matter how you do it, it's not going to happen overnight. So you need to do it in a way that's much more palatable to the group that you're trying to target. And I'm not saying you need to bend the knee and get blah 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 blah, but you can't beat them over the head. Not like that.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking back to when Black Panther came out, and there was that one woman who came out and said, "When is it okay for me to go to the theater and watch this movie so I'm not interrupting Black joy?" I'm like, sorry about that. You are joyless. Period. You just go see the fucking movie. If they'll take your money and buy the ticket, enjoy the movie. No one wants you to grovel and say, I'm sorry, T'Challa, whatever. Enjoy it. Just be a normal fucking person.
And I think what's funny is that it's interesting. Like, when that movie came out, there was this sort of awkwardness about it, right? Because Black people got so excited about it.
Sure.
And there were white people who were, you know, in various camps that were too far one way or the other, right? You had the people, the progressives on the left that were, well, I'm not going to go see it until everybody's got, all the black people have the chance to see it and enjoy it and feel it. Like, bitch, shut the fuck up, right? And then you also had the people on the far right were just like, well, I don't know what the big deal is, right? Like, what the fuck you mean you don't know what the big deal is, right? And so you had people on both sort of kind of ends of the spectrum as it came to that movie. And then there was just the awkwardness of it, right? Like, if you're going as a black person, you go in and it's just like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna enjoy this, right? Like, this is gonna be good. And it was pretty good. Like, there were parts of it that I wish for change, but as a comic book guy,
you're a comic book nerd,
right? And so I literally had to put that aside. And now when I go back and watch that movie, I appreciate it so much more, separate from the fact that unfortunately we lost Chadwick Boseman. But there are some really amazing things to appreciate about that movie, just even from just the scenery, right?
It was a cool fucking movie.
Then. And the fact that here's a movie that has so many black faces in it, and they're not slaves, and they're not criminals, but you have a black antagonist who you have mixed feelings about, and he's not just a drug dealer,
right?
And he's not a rapist, right? Like, I mean, you know, he's not like, but he's like,
he's militant. I mean,
right? He's kind of the school of a Huey Newton, Fred Hampton sort of tight, and he's angry. And the reality is that what Michael B. Jordan's character represented, right, is something that is legit, is real, right? It's just like, look, fuck all this. Peaceful, keep it to ourselves. Like, we have what we need. We're going to do to them what they did to us, right? We're going to do to them what they did to people who look like us, and they can't stop it. We couldn't stop them, and that is the circle of life, right? So here we go. And it's not real, right? Like, I mean, you don't have, I mean, and if there is, you know, then hopefully I get beamed up. But You can feel that sort of that
energy. I mean, it was kind of a Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King thing, right?
Yes.
It was a peaceful versus, you know, we're not going to sit around and wait for change to come our way. I didn't want to totally derail us on that, but the bigger point I want to make is, if the solution to making progress, and you're right, it won't happen overnight or whatever, is be yourself, be honest, treat people with respect, don't judge them by their color, period. And I know that's a pie in the sky kind of thing.
No, it's not even. I think we got to get away from the don't judge people by their color. Like, no. We don't want to do that. But the reality is, I think we have to be able to acknowledge color indifference, right? There's so many people that want to say, you know, race is this human construct and there's our DNA is less than blah, 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 this much different. But look, it's a human construct, but it's constructed, it's built, and it's fucking sturdy.
And we've always said, when someone says, I'm colorblind, like, you're full of shit.
Right. I mean, the reality is that when you look at me, there are noticeable differences, right? I mean, they just are. And in this country, a lot of this country's issues are directly related to race.
Sure.
Right? Now, some of it is because we try to ignore it, and we do a bad job of it. And in the shadows lurks all sorts of nefarious things, and bad things happen. So we got to acknowledge it, but we got to move past it at the same time, right? Like, it's okay for me to acknowledge that there are certain situations that I'm uncomfortable because I'm the only person who looks the way I do, and that is based off of history, right? Sure. History says that this is not a favorable situation for me. So we have to work on making people in that particular instance not feel uncomfortable. We don't need to go at them with annoying cliches about who they are, like, hey, did you play football here? Or here's a joke about black people that I can tell you that isn't offensive or whatever. But we have to figure out natural and organic ways to be inclusive, right? Where we still acknowledge the uniqueness of the individual or the group, and we're able to coexist. And that's complicated and it's hard. And we're a young country. And you could say things aren't happening fast enough, but the reality is that, you know, black people were slaves in this country for a few hundred years.
Yep.
Right? And the Civil War ended in 1865, right? So we're 100 and what?
Oh, shit. You're going to be doing math now.
100 and would be 1960, and then another 40 years gets us into the 2000s, so we're...
We're not quite 200 years.
Yeah, we're somewhere between 150 and 200 years out. And there's been a hell of a lot of progress, right?
Right.
We've had a black president. We've got a black vice president. We've got plenty of black lawyers, doctors, attorneys. And you've got, a majority of black people are very productive, live comfortable lives and are getting to a point of comfortability where a lot of white families were 20 years ago.
Sure.
Right? And the gap is closing. But for some, it's not happening fast enough now, right? Like, they want an acceleration. And I don't know how that looks, and I don't know how it happens. I don't necessarily disagree that it needs to happen, but beating people over the head and saying, be less white, is probably not how you're going to get there.
It's counterproductive, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
It's allowing the people who feed off the, I did nothing wrong, I'm white, to say, I'm being attacked. And while, as a white man in America in his 40s, I don't feel like I'm a victim in any way, shape, or form, I know lots of people who do feel that way, and it has become a major issue. It has become easy to feed off of for people who want to say, I'm a white victim, and you're not, but it's easy to feed off of when Coca-Cola comes at you and says, be less of what you are, even if what you are, I don't even know what the fuck that means. But similarly, there's so much desire to attack anything that disrupts or offends people. And I want to talk about Gina Carano for a bit, because I've never watched The Mandalorian. I know very little about it, but I know she was fired from the show or removed from the show because of something she tweeted. And essentially what she tweeted was, in Nazi Germany, Jews were vilified and their neighbors hated them. And when the government came after them, it was easy because their neighbors had been taught to hate them, which is, by the way, historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she followed up with, what's the difference between that and vilifying people for their political views today, making it sound like if you're in Hollywood and you're a conservative,
I think she specified Republicans or conservatives or something.
And totally tone-deaf thing to say and dopey, but it's a tweet that's trying to make a point as hyperbolic as fuck. I'm not saying she's making a great point, but I also don't think that should be what you get fired for.
Yeah, but you don't run Disney.
I don't, true.
So here's my thing. You got to be careful. You're in a role, right? Like you're a public facing role for a massive company called Disney. We can say, I don't think you should get fired for that. We don't make that decision. And you, like, if you work for Disney, you got to be careful with what you say. Like, do I think she should have been fired for it? Nah. Do I think she should have said it? Probably not. No. She really could have made that point better. You know, whenever you go Nazi, it's scary.
True.
Right? But should she have been fired for it? Not necessarily. But again, I don't get to make that decision. And you got to be smarter. I'm sorry. Like, I like Gina Carano. She's not the greatest actress, but I think, you know, she's a strong, athletic woman. I like to see her on screen. She's good in action roles. But you got to be smarter. Sometimes you just got to talk less. And, like, I get people, I should be able to say whatever I want. You surely can, but there are consequences.
Sure.
And you paid a consequence for speaking out. Sorry.
And I think the smarter thing is, if you say that at a cocktail party while you're talking to Bill Maher, that's one thing.
Yeah.
To choose to tweet it, I don't know how many followers she had.
Honestly, I'm sure she's got hundreds of thousands, right?
I would bet on it.
She's an MMA fighter. She's been in a number of different... She's been in, you know, star in her own movies. She's been in the Fast and Furious movies. You know,
she's right up your alley. Mandalorian and Fast and Furious?
I mean, she was a pretty solid MMA fighter until she got knocked out. You know, I mean, and she's a talented girl. I'm sure she'll bounce back, but she screwed up here. Again, I'm not saying she should have been fired, but listen, whether it's for Hollywood or a law firm or anything where it's you have access, people have access to you very publicly, you're going to have to limit what you say. And if you don't like it, then that's the risk that you run. Then go ahead and speak your mind, and it may cost you, right? And you don't have, like, you don't have a leg to stand on to say, I don't think I should be fired for that. Bitch, you don't sign your paychecks. When it's your company, when it's your production company, and you are in control, you can say whatever you want. If you're the CEO of Disney, you can say whatever you want, but even he can't because there's a board, right?
Sure.
And you get booted, right? Is it who's the, I forget who the CEO is. I want to say it's Michael Eisner. But
I was going to say he was at one point.
I feel like he's been out for a while, but whoever's at the top of Disney, like, even they have a board to answer to, right? And they could get booted out too. So everybody's got to watch what they say. And if you don't like it, That's just part of doing fucking business. Sometimes you don't get to say whatever you want to say, right? That's not impacting free speech, people. Free speech literally is just the government can't come in and arrest you.
Right?
Right? Oh, that's it.
100% agree with that. We've said it a bunch of times on the show.
And sometimes you're going to run your mouth and you're going to get yourself fired. You know, I mean, like, if you aren't working for yourself, right? And even if you work for yourself, there could be an impact, right? People could just say, well, you know what? I'm not going to buy your shit anymore. Right, I mean, and that's the risk you run. So if you want to jump into these conversations and you want to have these deep thoughts where you really thought it out and you said, oh, this is a great point that I need to make, okay, you might want to run that by somebody before you hit send.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with what you just said. I do have a problem with the cultural, and again, right and wrong, legal, illegal, I'm not debating any of that. What I am saying is it bothers me. I mean, I don't like what she said.
There's too much money at stake, Jen. At the end of the day, there's too much money at stake.
How many people do you think would stop watching The Mandalorian?
I don't care. If I'm Disney, I don't want to find out. That's just it.
Really?
I don't want to find out. If I'm Disney, I don't, like, why would I want to find out? I just don't.
All right.
There's too much money at stake. You got to answer the shareholders. Oh, I don't like that. Well, then you don't, that's fine. You can not like it, but that's just where we're at. So if you don't like that, then that means you don't like capitalism, right? Because that's what it is. At the end of the day, it comes down to money.
So this isn't liberalism, it's capitalism in its purest form.
Disney made a decision. They're like, somebody's not going to like that. That could impact our money coming in. So you got to go. And conservatives love to do this, right? So conservatives were cancel Disney+. you got to cancel Disney Plus because they fired Gina Carano. Right. She's one of us. So they canceled her. We're gonna cancel them. And Disney, just like Nike, ran the numbers and said, yeah, we can afford it. It's fine. Go ahead. Cancel us.
I'm going to blow up my super fancy cooler because I'm drawing a blank. I fucking own one. What's the
cool? Yeti.
Yeti. I'm going to blow up my Yeti cooler.
Yeti's, like, Keurigs, Nikes, right? Like, all that shit. Like, conservatives, y'all really overthink or overstate or whatever. Overestimate what your financial ability to rock the market is.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think we're both making factual statements. I just...
Not wrong, right? And she, like, I agree with you that she should be able to say or do, you know, what she said and have minimal impact. But the end of the day, Disney's going to look at it and say, people aren't going to like it. A majority of the people we feel that aren't going to like it, there's going to be more people on the left, right, who purchase our product and funnel money to us. We need them. It's going to offend the wrong demographic. So there's got to be a consequence. And the consequence is the person who said it's got to go.
Okay.
Deuces.
And we're taking it in a somewhat different direction, but kind of on the same level. Look at LeBron James. LeBron James was told by Zlatan, I can't say his name, a soccer player for AC Milan, grew up in Sweden. Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch the European Premier Leagues. I watch the World Cup. I do pay casual attention to soccer. I know that this guy is like one of the best strikers in the game today. And he told LeBron basically to, stand down. Don't use your sports platform.
He told him shut up and dribble.
Essentially.
You know, he said, just stick to what you're good at. You're good at basketball. Just do that. Don't get into political things. And, you know,
Zlatan. Go with Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Look, I get what you're saying, right? Like, you're an athlete, and athletes should just do athletic things. But, I mean, this guy has come out and said things. He's gotten himself involved in politics before. Whether it was race related, I think he said some things that weren't super nice about women in the past. But here's the thing with LeBron. Like, you know, LeBron responded, and the response is exactly what it should have been. Look, I have a platform and I can use it. The difference between LeBron and Gina Carano is the Lakers aren't going to fire LeBron, right?
I would call that a fairly safe bet.
LeBron, and it comes down to value. Like, what's your value to your organization? LeBron's value is way higher to the Lakers organization in the NBA than it is than Gina Carano's is to Disney in The Mandalorian, right? I didn't watch The Mandalorian because of Gina Carano. She was a nice little bonus, but that's not why I watched it, right? People are watching the Lakers because of LeBron. People are watching the NBA because of LeBron. Yes, other players, but yes, LeBron is a major draw. So Nike, Kia, the NBA, like, nobody is dropping LeBron. The other issue is that LeBron owns a lot of shit, right? Like, and LeBron has a lot of money coming in, and he is in control of a lot of that money coming in. So he's up there in terms of kind of his own boss to a degree. And his platform is massive, and he uses it as he sees fit, right? I kind of have an issue if there are things that you feel strongly about and things that you can impact and help in a positive way, and you don't use your platform, right, then I gotta give you a little bit of a sideways look. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna say you have to do it, but it's kind of a shame if you don't. And LeBron's had such a positive impact. Like, you just can't overstate it, right? And people really want to brush it off, but, like, the guy's got a school that runs... He built a school, and he wasn't the first to do it. Jalen Rose has done it. Jalen Ramsey has done something similar. And Jalen Rose did it before LeBron did it years ago. He did it out in Detroit. But, I mean, LeBron builds this school. And even before that, he was sending kids to school, to Akron with scholarships, buying kids supplies. The guys on his team, like, he built those guys up. Like, they were his friends from high school. He built them up, and he turned them into their own little mini moguls and CEOs and these massively successful people. And he's lifted up a ton of people along the way. And he speaks out about what he believes in. I don't have a problem with it, right? Like, and it seems like people have an issue with, whether it's Hollywood or athletes, they have an issue with them speaking out when they speak out about things that they disagree with, right? Sure. Like, conservatives don't have an issue with a Joe Thomas. They don't have an issue with
Gina Carano.
Gina Carano, right? Like, then they'll just jump by, oh, she can get into politics all she wants. Like, conservatives don't have an issue with a James Woods, right? Who was the only reason we know him is because of Hollywood, right?
Yeah. And like, he's Don't Go Crazy, but.
Right. I mean, like, they don't have an issue with a Clint Eastwood, right? Like, but it's anyone, they have an issue, like, oh, well, if you're famous, you need to just shut up. Unless you're saying what I want you to say, then that's fine. You can talk all you want. Right, like it's not across the board. It's only if I disagree with whatever your point is.
Sure.
And so whether it's Zoltan Ibrahimovic or whoever, or Laura Ingraham or whoever, LeBron's response is going to be the same. It's my platform. I built it with the support of my team. And if you have a problem with it, you can kiss my black ass.
Right.
Essentially.
You know, I mean, I've talked about my history as my attitude towards LeBron. I was a huge fan. I was a hater when he went to Miami. I jumped back on board when he came back because I thought he handled that phenomenally well. And I've really grown to appreciate the guy. And there's one of our listeners in particular who is going to be texting me the second he hears me say that, because LeBron has become the athlete with a political platform who's using it, in my opinion, the right way, the same way that some really iconic folks have. I mean, I think Kareem, I think Muhammad Ali, I think Jim Brown. Now, none of these men are perfect.
No,
but they saw, okay, I'm seeing an injustice, and because of who I am and the platform I have, I'm going to use that to do something that is important to me and that I think is right. And frankly, from a financial standpoint, this doesn't hurt LeBron, but doesn't help him. I mean,
yeah, but that I mean, that
it matter. Doesn't hurt. I mean, I think financially he'll be all right. But yeah. but what I'm saying is, like, he's not doing this for personal gratification. I mean, Colin Kaepernick suffered a huge financial loss because of speaking out the way he did.
Yeah.
And LeBron is basically saying, in my opinion, to the Kaepernick haters, like, you can hate him all you want. He was a
what
good
are you gonna do to me?
Exactly.
What are you gonna do to me? Right? And yeah. I mean, and that's the beauty of it. Once you get to a certain level, it's just like, look, I have this platform, and here the reality is, what qualifies somebody to be able to speak on these issues, right? Like, well, LeBron shouldn't because, I mean, he didn't go to college and he only graduated from high school. It's just like, so what are the qualifications, right? You gotta go to college. Is that it? Are we sure?
Got to go to an Ivy League school, of course.
Right? Is it only college and Ivy League schools? Because we've seen some college graduates and some Ivy League graduates say and do some pretty dumb things. Ted Cruz goes to the top of that list.
You know? We didn't talk about Ted fucking Cruz.
What?
We didn't talk about Ted Cruz in the beginning. The fact that he zipped off to Cancun and all that fun shit. We didn't talk about that.
I thought we talked about it last week.
I don't think so. I thought that happened. All right. Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, all right.
We're fine.
All right. I mean, then he goes to CPAC and does a
whole
joke about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's speaking at CPAC and
fuck Ted Cruz. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I mean, the question is what, so we're only listening to Ivy League scholars, right, on political and racial issues, right? Like, you got to be a congressman or you got to be a senator. How is LeBron not a person who could speak on this? He grew up in fucking Akron. Listen, he felt the brunt of a lot of the issues that we have in the urban centers, and he was there. He got out of it. Yeah, he got out of it because of basketball, but he got out of it, and he's able to look at it from a different sphere than most people who talk about it and who whether they're trying to help it or they're not trying to help it, he's just got a different perspective, so there's value to it.
Well, and also, whenever someone says, what is his credentials? Okay, fine, that's a fair question. But then, what did he or she say that is accurate or wrong?
Well, what were Malcolm X's credentials? What were Martin Luther King's credentials? I mean, Martin Luther King was a preacher.
Yeah.
Right? Malcolm X was an ex-con. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Bobby Seale, Fred Hampton, some of the most prolific voices in our history. Like, when they were in their prime and speaking, these guys were young. Younger than I'm 40, right?
I'm a man.
I'm 40. But they,
if you don't,
you know,
get that, it's on you.
But I mean, like, these guys were very young, right? Like,
yeah.
maybe they had a college degree, maybe they didn't. You know, some of the most prolific voices that we've had in our country were not Ivy League scholars.
Right.
Right. Like, so just, you know, like, school education isn't always an indicator of you know, knowledge and importance and impact. And so, again, I think that a person can have a voice and a message and something to say, and when they have a platform to use it, they should use it if they want to use it and if they want to use it for good. Right?
And I would say Ben Carson is as educated as anyone out there, and he's kind of a dumbass. He said
some of the dumbest shit, right?
And I mean, I throw George Bush in there too and a few others. But yeah, anyway, I just think that Zalton coming out and telling LeBron to you know keep his mouth shut. LeBron handled it perfectly and said, "This is the guy who claimed that he was you know, treated wrong because he's got a Slavic name but lived in Sweden." So yeah, thanks, but bye-bye. Yeah. And when he was asked the initial question, it was like, "Do you want to comment on that?" His thought was
no,
no.
And then it was like 2.5 minutes of him commenting.
Right, but it was still funny. Like, yes, anyway, it was. All right, we're at an hour, and I do want to talk about.
Talk about this.
Yes. Okay.
The rest of it doesn't matter. Talk about this. All right.
So something came out that I am ecstatic about.
Yes.
Because Eddie Murphy acknowledged that the famous basketball game between Eddie Murphy and his crew and Prince and his crew
from the Dave Chappelle show.
From the Dave Chappelle show that was reenacted did happen.
Yes.
And I always knew this because I watched some of the bonus materials on. So Charlie Murphy passed away in 2017. They would have a segment called Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, and he would tell these stories and it would obviously get, you know, done in a theatrical way. But probably the most famous one, other than the Rick James thing, was the Prince basketball game. And Charlie Murphy tells a story about him and his boys, Eddie and his boys, with Charlie as a security guy, are in a club in L.A. They run into Prince.
If you're listening to the show, you've probably seen it. If not, then you have, like, us retelling it isn't going to do it any sort of justice. But just
watch it.
Dave Chappelle, Prince, very easy to find. But Eddie Murphy confirmed that this actually happened.
Yep.
Right? Which I, like, there's no, like, could Charlie Murphy have made it up? Absolutely. But listen, when they had Rick James on the show, as they were telling the story about Rick James, literally, kind of.
I never did that. I remember doing that.
Right. Like, you're damn right I did it. Fuck him. Like, it just, like, those are two of the funniest episodes of anything I've ever watched on TV.
I agree.
But I just, that being confirmed was important. It was worth skipping the other stories. You have a little shout out to do.
Yeah, I want to do a shout out to my friend Mary Santora. She released her first comedy album called Hillbilly Bougie. It is number one on iTunes as a comedy show, or as a comedy release. It was like number 24 overall on iTunes. So, Mary, congratulations. I wish you the best. And, you know, she's been through a lot. She lost her dad to COVID, and it's been a wild year, but she's really funny. So I'm going to ask our listeners to, you know, look up Hillbilly Bougie. If you're interested, buy it. She's very funny, and it's blowing up the charts. So congrats, Mary. All right, want to shut it down there?
Yep.
We are done.